So 2 weeks ago, we looked at the first half of chapter 12, Genesis chapter 12, in which the Lord called Abram to leave his father's house and to follow him. We saw how the call was accompanied by the rich promises of blessings. We saw Abram responded with obedience, with faith, and with worship. And today we will continue with the series of sermons on the book of Genesis, and we'll come to the second half of Genesis chapter 12, verses 10 to 20. Genesis chapter 12, verses 10 to 20. And this is the word of the Lord. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. And it came to pass, when he was close to entering Egypt, that he said to Sarai his wife, "Indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you." So it was when Abram came into Egypt that the Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. The princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. He treated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys, and camels. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say, 'She is my sister'? I might have taken her as my wife. Now therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way." So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away with his wife and all that he had. Thus far the reading of God's holy and inspired word. Let us come now in a time of prayer, asking him for his blessings, for his preaching of the word. Father, we come before you. We thank you, Lord, for your word that is before us today. We pray, Lord, that you may bless the preaching of your word. May Christ become big and your child become small. Help us to, even to this day, rejoice in the wonder of your covenant promises and how you deliver us from our sins and misery. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, have you ever planned a lie and expected things to turn out in a certain way? But when you told the lie, it turned out worse than what you anticipated? Have you ever had that experience? When I was a child, I remember that my parents used to put me through painting classes. I remember that I really did not like painting, so I planned a lie and told my parents that the class was too big and the teachers did not pay enough attention to me. In telling the lie, I thought that my parents would drop me out of the class, so maybe I could learn something else. But after I told the lie, guess what happened? My parents actually turned out enrolling me into a different class, which would put me one-on-one with the instructor. And that surely was not planned. I surely did not plan that to happen. And to me, it was a beginning. It was a new beginning of suffering. And maybe some of us sitting here can also relate to that. You have this experience as well, and you have planned a lie, and you expected things to turn out in a certain way. But when you told the lie, things went somewhere else. And this is actually what we see here in Genesis chapter 12 in the life of Abram. Moses tells us in these verses that Abram also planned a lie and expected things to turn out in a certain way. But when he told the lie, it brought him into a miserable condition. But the problem here is more than just bring himself into a miserable condition. Because the problem is that the lie Abram told here not only brought troubles to himself, but it almost brought a threat to God's plan for his people. So what happened? And would Abram's sin really ruin God's plan for his people? And this is what we'll be looking at today. And today we'll be considering this text in three different sections. First of all, Abram plans the lie, and from verses 10 to 13. And second, the false fruits of a lie, from verses 14 to 16, and third, the Lord intervenes from 17 to 20. If you have your Bibles, I would encourage you to open as we consider the text together. And the goal of the sermon is that you may rejoice in the wonder of God's faithfulness to his covenant promises despite our sins and disobedience. That we may rejoice in the wonder of God's faithfulness to his covenant promises despite our sins and disobedience. So let us now come to our first point. Abram plans a lie. So notice here in verse 10, Moses begins these verses by telling us that there was a famine in the land of Canaan. There was a famine in the land of Canaan, and the famine was severe in the land. So immediately here we see a problem for Abram. It is because what's going on here seems to contradict the promises of God earlier in the chapter. Remember that 2 weeks ago we looked at the Lord brought Abram into Canaan and promised him that he would give this land to his descendants. Do you remember that? That promise there entails that the Lord would give Abram a son and also a land with blessing. But notice what is going on here. Not only was Abram's wife Sarai barren, he doesn't have a son. And notice here that the promised land was also barren. There was a huge famine. There's a severe famine. There was no food in the promised land. You see the contradictions here? And how did Abram respond to the situation? And Moses tells us that he decided to go to Egypt. And notice here the text did not say anything about him inquiring of God. In fact, the original Hebrew suggests to us that going to Egypt was his own doing. It was his own decision. So in other words, in response to the situation, he simply decided to leave the promised land that the Lord brought him into and went to Egypt. And we have to understand as well, what kind of place was Egypt? Egypt was a nation descended from the wicked son of Ham, the wicked son of Noah, I should say. It's a nation descended from the wicked son of Ham, then the son of Noah. It was a nation also of idolatry and false gods. In the book of Hebrews describes it as a place of idolatry and a place of worldly possessions and treasures. So notice the problem here. The previous verses in chapter 12, verses 1 to 9, just told us about his conversion story. Remember that 2 weeks ago, his conversion story, that the Lord called him out of darkness and promised him the promises of the covenant, that he and his descendants would inherit the land of Canaan. Do you remember that? But here, look what is happening here. Abram encountered a famine in the land of Canaan, and instead of trusting upon the Lord, Abram acted upon his own instinct and left the promised land and went down to the pagan Egypt who was full of idolatry and false idols. Brothers and sisters, before we move on, just a brief application. What's going on here in Abram's life also serves as a good reminder to us in our pilgrimage journey. Sometimes we encounter situations like that. Imagine a person suddenly goes unemployed and desperately needs a job in order to provide for his family. And the job offer requires him to move to a city or a place where there isn't a gospel preaching church and a good Christian school for his children. You see here, it is not wrong to move to a different city in order to look for work. We have a family, and working is the means by which we provide for our family, and that is important to us. But what we see here is that our priority must be our spiritual life instead of our physical well-being. Like when we're thinking about moving to a different city, the first thing we look at shouldn't be primarily upon our physical well-being, but it must be for our spiritual well-being. We should first find a gospel-preaching church and a good Christian school before we consider our houses or cars or any material good. So what's going on here in Abram's life serves as a good reminder that we must not prioritize our physical well-being over our spiritual well-being. And the burning question in our hearts should be, how will this affect my soul? How will this affect the soul of my children? So here we see that Abram had a choice. He could have chosen to trust God and hold fast to the promise and stay in the land, or he could have left the land and go to pagan Egypt for food. And we see here that he chose to leave the promised land and went down to pagan Egypt. And then Moses also tells us that right before he entered Egypt, Abram realized that there was a potential danger. And what was the danger? What was the potential problem, potential danger for him? His problem was that he knew that his wife Sarai was beautiful and that the Egyptians would set their eyes on her and would kill him in order to take her. And you have to understand here that Moses is telling us that Sarai was not only just a kind of cute, but the Hebrew suggests to us that she was absolutely stunning. She was absolutely beautiful. And this is actually a real problem. And it's because according as well to the laws in ancient Egypt, Pharaoh at that time, he had the right to take the wife and children of any sojourner coming into his land. So in other words, this is a real problem for Abram because his wife was beautiful. And then the laws in Egypt at the time would allow the Pharaoh to take his wife away from him. And here, once again, we see that Abram had a choice, doesn't he? He had a choice. On the one hand, he could have chosen to trust God to protect him. That was his first option. And the other option was that Abram could again take matters into his own hand. And what did Moses tell us about how Abram responded this time? Well, once again, this time, Abram once again decided to take matters into his own hand. And he came up, and this time he came up with a plan. Look at what he said to Sarai in verse 13. He said to Sarai, "Please say you are my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you." Look, what was his plan? His plan was to deceive the Egyptians by telling them that Sarai was his sister. And in fact, this was actually not a complete lie. It is because Sarai really was, in fact, his half-sister. And perhaps this was what Abram was thinking, that he could justify this lie since it was a half-truth. But then notice the problem here in this verse. The focus here was not on his wife, but the focus here was on his own life. He didn't even think of how he would protect his wife and protect the sanctity of his marriage. Remember what the Bible tells us about marriage. Marriage is a creation ordinance. It is a holy, a sacred union between a man and a woman. And remember also what the Apostle Paul tells us about men's responsibilities in marriage in Ephesians chapter 5, 25 to 28. He said, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify her and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself." Paul tells us that marriage is a reflection of Christ's love for his bride. But what do we see here? What do we see here? Well, we see here that Abram was not fulfilling the duty as a husband. He was not fulfilling the duty that God called him to be a husband who loves and who protects his wife. And instead, he was willing to risk the sanctity of his marriage for the sake of his own life. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, this is the Abram that Moses is presenting to us. We often think of Abram as one of the great heroes of faith, as Hebrews 11 presents to us, and as the father of all believers, as Romans presents to us. But you see here that the scripture is totally honest about Abram's weakness. And more than that, this is also quite a contrast to the Abram we saw 2 weeks ago, who responded to God's promise with faith and with worship and with obedience. Here we not only see a faithless Abram who abandoned the covenant that was just made with him, but we see here an Abram who wanted to preserve his own life over the sanctity of his marriage. You see here, he placed Sarai in an extremely dangerous position. So the question is, would Abram's plan succeed when he gets to Egypt? Would Abram be kept alive and well in Egypt? And that leads us to a second point, the false fruit of the lie. And here Moses tells us that when Abram and Sarai entered Egypt, the Egyptians indeed saw Sarai and praised her to Pharaoh. And because of Sarai, they did not kill Abram. And notice here that Abram was not only kept alive, but for Sarai's sake, he also received from Pharaoh all the material blessings. Look at verse 16. He treated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys, and camels. You see here, Abram's lie actually worked. It brought him from a wandering foreigner, a sojourner, asking for food, and he became an honored guest in Egypt. Only because of Sarai, his wife, because of his lie, he became an honored guest in Egypt, and he received all these material goods. But notice that this lie also came with a significant consequence. Going back to verse 15, Moses tells us, Pharaoh took Sarai into his own palace. And the question is, was this part of Abram's plan too? Do you think this was part of Abram's plan that his wife would be taken into Pharaoh's palace? Perhaps Abram was, at that time when he was planning the lie, he was thinking that the Egyptians would simply leave him alone after the lie, or maybe would give him time to escape the land after receiving the food and the goods. But we see here that things did not go that way. Pharaoh took his wife away from him. Pharaoh took Sarai into his own palace. So can you see what a complicated situation into which Abram brought himself? Yes, his scheme actually worked. He deceived the Egyptians. They didn't kill him, and he also gained so much material goods. But was it part of his plan that Pharaoh would take Sarai away from him? Well, we saw earlier that he was willing to risk his marriage for his own life. And now we see that his scheme has actually put his marriage under the bus. But more importantly, this situation not only brought a threat to Abram's marriage, it also brought a huge threat to the promises of God. And this is significant, because remember what was God's promise all the way back in Genesis 3:15. Do you remember that promise? After Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the Lord promised them that there would come the seed of the woman to deliver them. Do you remember that promise? The seed of the woman would crush the head of the seed of the serpent while being injured in the process. Genesis 3:15. That was the promise. And we saw last week that the promise was carried through Seth and to Noah, to his son Shem. And 2 weeks ago we saw that God made it clear that the promise of blessing, this promise in Genesis 3:15, would come through a child born to Abram and to Sarai in verse 3. What it means is that the holy line will be carried through Abram and Sarai. So you see here, we have a huge problem. We have a real problem here, because we see that Sarai was taken into Pharaoh's house. So the question is, how could this promise be fulfilled if Sarai was taken away? How could this promise come to pass if beautiful Sarai became the wife of Pharaoh? So what we see here is that the situation was a real threat to God's promise. Abram not only put his marriage at risk, but more importantly, he also put the chosen line of the woman at risk. And you see what a hopeless situation Abram had brought himself into. Can you imagine him beating himself after seeing what happened? Beating himself, saying like, I shouldn't have done that. But this is really the consequence for relying on himself rather than clinging tight, holding fast to the promises of God. Everything really went down the hill from the day he decided to leave the promised land and to go into Egypt. But the question is this the end of the story? Is Abram really going to lose his wife? Is the sin of Abram really going to ruin God's promise and his eternal plan of salvation? And that brings us to our final point. And here Moses tells us in verse 17. Notice what it says. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. So the answer is no. This is not the end of the story. And here we see that the Lord divinely intervened. He stretched out his hand and he sends a plague upon Pharaoh and his house. And notice here that Moses did not even tell us how exactly did the Lord plague Pharaoh. You know why? Because this is not the focus here. Moses didn't even bother telling us what was the plague, but he was just telling us that the Lord plagued Pharaoh. The Lord divinely intervened. What Moses wanted to focus on was God's power and sovereignty over Abram's and Sarai's situation. Here, he would not let Pharaoh defile Sarai. But do you know why, though? Do you know why the Lord would not let Pharaoh defile Sarai? It is because the Lord was faithful to his promises despite Abram's faithlessness. The promise that he swore in Genesis 3:15 and to Abram last week in chapter 12, verses 1 to 9, was a covenantal promise. When God obligates himself to a covenant promise, even the sins of his people could not prevent its fulfillment. He would not let anyone or anything disrupt his plan until his promises are fulfilled. So even here in this case, Abram's sin would not spoil the sovereign counsel of God. And this is what we see here. And out of his good and sovereign counsel, everything would go as he had promised. The holy line would continue through Abram's loins, through Sarai. And we know that the holy line would continue for generations. And ultimately, the seed of the woman would come from the same line. And we know that the promise was fulfilled. It is because a few chapters later, we will see the Lord opening the womb of the barren Sarai. And she will bear the child of promise, whose name was Isaac. And then from Isaac came Jacob. And then from Jacob came Judah. And many more generations later, the book of Luke confirms that the line would continue through David, through Solomon. And ultimately came the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the seed, the true seed of the woman. You see, this is the ultimate reason why the Lord protected Sarai, because she will be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, this is the Lord our God. He's ever faithful to his covenant promises. But do you know that God's promises even hold true today? Maybe we look around and we often get very disappointed. It is because we see hypocrisy in the church. We see pastors, leaders, and members fell into sin. We see these things and we're discouraged and we despair. But here in this text, we learn that God's promises to his church will never fail. Yes, we may fail, but he does not. And this is a reminder to us that his promises are firm and true. When God obligates himself to us, he will carry it out until the very end. But then also notice that this is not the end of it all. Notice in verse 20 that after Pharaoh found out that the Lord sent a plague on his house because he took Abram's wife, he called Abram and he confronted him, and then he deported him. But notice what Moses tells us in verse 20. At the end of verse 20, he says, Abram left with all that he had. What is this telling us here? It is telling us that Abram left Egypt as a rich man. Can you see what the Lord was doing in his providence? Yes, Abram was at fault. He resorted to his own ways instead of standing on the promises of God. He abandoned the promise and left the promised land to go to Egypt and thought that his cunning lie would work out for his good. But notice what God here was doing in his glorious providence. And one writer wrote, He used a plague, the Lord Yahweh used a plague to rescue Sarai and restore her to her destiny. And he also used deportation to get Abram back to the promised land. And here, not only that, the Lord also used Egypt as a means to provide for Abram, that Abram left a rich man. You see, everything was under God's sovereign control, and everything would be directed to his determined end. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, this is the Lord our God. This is the Lord our God who controls all things. And do you remember what Job says in Job 42, verse 2? He said, "I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you." You see, nothing is outside of his sovereign control. The Lord could even use the sin of his people to carry out for their good. What a wonderful Savior, what a wonderful God. But before we close, I want to direct your attention to the act of deliverance of Abram and Sarai here. Because if you think about it, does this story of Egypt, Pharaoh, and the plague sound familiar? These three things, do you find them familiar? Well, what happens here actually anticipates what would happen generations later, when the Israelites will again be in Egypt, where they will be again be distressed, they will be afflicted and be miserable. But just as the Lord divinely delivered Abram from the misery in Egypt, from Egypt here, and at that time the Lord would once again plague Pharaoh and his house and lead his people into a great exodus out of bondage of misery into the promised land, which was filled with abundant milk and honey. And these two exoduses, the one of Sarai and Abram here, and also the one in Israel in Exodus, actually points us forward to the greater exodus that the Lord Jesus Christ would accomplish in Jerusalem generations later. And that exodus was the exodus at the cross. And that at that time, the climactic exodus in God's saving work for the whole world will be fully manifested. The exodus in Jerusalem, generations later, would not involve blood on the doorposts anymore, but instead it would involve the shedding of the innocent blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And through the shedding of the blood at the cross and his resurrection from the dead, the Lord Jesus would bring his people out of the misery and the bondage of sin. And this is really God's grace at its climax. This is really what this text is about. God, out of his grace and faithfulness, delivering his people, you and me, from the bondage of sin and misery. And through him as well. Remember how Abram left Egypt being rich? We, as poor sinners and distressed sinners, going to God as a poor sinner, may become rich, may become full in the riches in the Lord Jesus Christ through his death and resurrection. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, the reality is that we're all like Abram, who are weak, and we often lose sight of the promises of God. And as believers in Christ, having been redeemed, we still make wrong decisions, and we open up ourselves to moral dangers, or we do not love one another in the way we should. But this account of Abram in Egypt reminds us a wonderful reality. It's that even when we are faithless, the Lord, our God, is faithful, and Christ never fails. So in closing, let me ask you, are you rejoicing in the wonder of God's grace that delivers you from the bondage of sin and death into his kingdom of light? Are you rejoicing in that? Are you also rejoicing in the wonder of God's faithfulness to his covenantal promises despite your sins and disobedience? And despite your faithlessness? Are you rejoicing in that? Are you rejoicing in God's faithfulness and deliverance and his grace? May we always be reminded that God's promises are firm and true. Even when we are weak, it is only because of the Lord Jesus Christ who secured our salvation for us. May God help us as we continue through this earthly pilgrimage, be filled with hope, trusting that just as he was faithful yesterday, he would also be faithful to us today and tomorrow, until he returns and takes us into the eternal promised land, where there will be no end. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your electing grace and mercy. We thank you for the work of Christ at the cross, the climactic exodus, which this passage here in Abram and Sarai in Egypt was anticipating the final exodus, which you deliver us from our bondage of sin and death. We thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of Christ who is working faith in our hearts and who gave us understanding so that we may be drawn to you. Father, help us to fix our eyes on you and rejoice in the salvation that you have graciously given through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray all these in Jesus' name. Amen.